Hello, you are watching a special episode of Agenda Wani. My name is Cynthia Ng. The COVID-19 pandemic has caused severe disruption and distress to the world. No country, no one was spared. But if there was one silver lining from this pandemic, is that it has put a spotlight on mental health and amplified the need to help those suffering from mental health issues, which is fast becoming a global crisis too. Now, joining me today, I'm very honored to have the founders of Green Ribbon on the show to talk about mental health. Tengku Imand and Putri Aryan, thank you so much for joining me and coming on the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Tengku Imand, I'd like to start with you because I know that in the past year, you have been such a strong advocate for mental health. Mm-hmm. Tell us what led you to start Green Ribbon and why is this cause so important for you?
Well, I haven't really been advocating for mental health in the past year. It's actually been, I've started advocating since about 2016, 2017. So it's really nothing new for me. I feel like just this year, I'm just doing it on a higher platform. But it's really nothing new for Aryan and I, actually. So, I mean, Green Ribbon Group was just a way of formalizing what was already there. We already worked together anyway on many things, so.
Why mental health?
I feel that mental health is something that is quite often overlooked, but so very important. If we don't take care of our mental health, it will slowly affect other aspects of our life, such as our physical health. People think it's always about just up here, but it really isn't. It's about emotional aspects of life and like just what you feel, how you act. And you know, it's not just, people think it's just one isolated topic when it's really not. It kind of involves many aspects of life.
And that's very true because when we talk about mental health, the spectrum is really wide. You have people suffering from anxiety or, you know, depression, and then there's eating disorder is also a form of mental health.
Of course.
I'd like to get to Aryan to talk about what are some of the misconceptions about mental health that are creating barriers to addressing it effectively?
I think right off the bat, there is the stigma associated to mental health and its challenges. So I think that creates the misconception that if somebody were to seek help for, you know, a mental health challenge, then that person is, you know, unstable. Life is over for that person. The person will not be able to function well in society, at work, you know. If I could just give an example, right? So if I was to go to the doctor for a flu, and if I were to get an MC, I could just sort of go to work, submit my MC, and, you know, case closed kind of thing, right? But if I were to go back to work with an MC from a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I think questions would be asked like, well, is she capable of sort of continuing her job, you know? How will this impact her work, you know? So we automatically view mental health mental health challenges or illnesses very different from, a condition like asthma, let's say, a condition like the flu. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that I think there is also a doom and gloom aspect to mental health when people sort of feel that, well, if I were to have a mental health disability, life is over for me kind of thing. When that is, I would say super duper not true. And I think that is the beauty of Tengku Putri's efforts now in mental health. You know, she actually is here to say that mental health challenges can be overcome and they can be managed, and you will be able to, you know, enjoy a good quality of life, and you know, so on and so forth.
And it's also just about not invalidating anyone's pain. Yeah. If they're feeling anxious, let them feel anxious. Maybe support them. It's more like let people be. If they feel sad, then they're sad. If they're depressed, just, do you know what I mean?
So did you struggle with anxiety or some form of depression growing up?
I think I'm just a bit more sensitive. That's all. I think I wouldn't want to go in too much about my anxiety because it's not about me here today. It's more about the cause. Growing up, it made me realize a lot that all of us are wired very differently.
Right.
So we must all embrace that and we must all respect that. That one situation may be viewed very differently as individuals. I could view a situation this way, whereas Aryan could view a situation her way. And we must all respect that. We must respect each other's views and feelings. That's what
I think the reason why I asked if you had personal struggles growing up, because for myself growing up, the topic of mental health, mental illness, is not something that is talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're always told to, toughen up. If you're sad, you're depressed, you just toughen up.
Yeah.
But this needs to be changed, and I think that's why you guys are doing what you're doing.
I mean,
Aryan, talk about your personal experience.
For me, it was probably when I lost my father very suddenly. That was about almost 6 years ago now. At the time, I didn't think I was depressed or that I even had any form of depression. I just thought it was sadness. When you lose someone, you grieve, you get sad, you miss them. And I always felt that it was just the norm, and I always felt that if I was to cry it all out, then everything would be fine. But actually, my friend here kind of, she held my hand throughout. And, she would always be there to ask, are you actually okay beyond just, missing your dad? And it was actually one of my family members who said that, you tend to have signs of, what did she say? She said, you have depressive tendencies. And I never really understood what that meant. I didn't even seek help. I just found comfort in my friends.
So you were lucky because you found a friend that was willing to step in to help you. Now, I want to bring this conversation to the society at large, right? I mean, this is a crisis that's waiting to happen in mental health. And the issue of access to help is a big one. Is that something that Green Ribbon is trying to do to help give more access to people who are struggling with mental health?
Actually, I'll just start off by saying that, of course, I think that the basic reasons and the fundamentals of why we do what we do is just to give back and to really help empower what's already there.
Yeah.
It's not to say that there's nothing out there. There are so many initiatives and campaigns and resources out there which are just not fully recognized, I think, and they're not getting enough attention. That's all we are here to do. We're just here to connect them and empower them, because we are working closely with a couple of stakeholders who have been in the field since 2004. So if anything, they have seen the progression or regression. I mean, they've seen a lot, and I would like to shout out to those two. One of them is Dr. Andrew, who is president of MMHA. He has helped us tremendously, helped us get to know what really is going on in the mental health field. We don't want to also be unrealistic about, we're also very young, so we don't know what's been going on. So we always turn to the ones who do know what's going on. So Dr. Andrew is one. And then there's also Dr. Noor Ashikin Ibrahim, who is a public health specialist at MOH, and she's fantastic. We work very closely with her.
What kind of conversation do you want to put forth through what you're doing?
If anything, the conversation I want to put forth is that normalize the conversation. Don't make it abnormal to talk about your feelings and stuff. It is normal to talk about your feelings. It's okay to say I'm sad or I'm happy or I am depressed. It's okay. I just want everyone out there to know that I've said this many, many times, but that, you're not alone. We see you. We hear you. I mean, we've always said this as a society, we must practice compassion, and not to say that people don't, but you know what I mean. Just be kind and reach out to that neighbor of yours who may be who is feeling a bit down, and just keep it simple.
Just to listen.
Yeah, just to listen, And again, I always say this, please listen to listen and not to reply. Just listen. Because sometimes people listen for the sake of just conversation, but are you really listening to that cry for help that you may not know? You know what I mean?
So, if I may ask, what are your hopes to Green Ribbon? In the end, what is it that you would like to see? What change be it small, little, but what change would you like to see from Grim Reaper?
I think, you know, we are big advocates of a community approach to this issue that we are discussing today, mental health. You know, I think Tun Putri has done a good job in trying to get the message out there that mental health is the responsibility of all, and that we shouldn't only be looking to doctors or to the government to sort of try and solve this problem. And I think that's the good thing about the pandemic, right? So the good thing about the pandemic is that I think it has shed a lot of light on, you know, some of the challenges out there. I think those who previously maybe did not have mental health challenges probably had some of their own. You know, not everyone can manage the lockdown well, for example, right? So I feel like over the last 1 year, we've seen more understanding and more awareness, and I hope that these conversations continue. So I would say that's, like, you know, the first big change for me is I would like conversations on mental health to continue. I feel like mental health would be, you know, it's a big aspect in our recovery in the post-pandemic world. And I feel like it should be a community approach to the way that we handle things, which I think is a key role here. So as Tun Putri mentioned earlier, we don't want to create anything new, you know. If we were to be very candid, I mean, she nor I, we are not mental health experts, right?
Yeah, we're not.
We're not doctors, we're not researchers, we're not policymakers. But what we can do is we can help to constantly raise awareness and keep the issue, being talked about in the media, whether it's traditional and social. And we can encourage perhaps non-traditional stakeholders to join this conversation on mental health a lot more.
Well, like you pointed out, just to normalize the conversation of mental health.
Yeah, and to just say that it's a thing that we should have discussed a long time ago.
And also, but to those stakeholders who have already done so much already in the mental health field, I would just like to say thank you. I would like everyone to know how important their role is now moving forward
and
in a post-pandemic world where mental health has just started, really. It's going to, I mean, WHO has already said that
it will be a
global pandemic. So to all the stakeholders who have already been pushing mental health so much, I would like to thank you so much for all your hard work. You know, it's finally now being heard. We support you all the way. That's all Green Ribbon Group is here to do, actually.
To empower.
We're here to empower
all the individuals and organizations who have...
Yeah, one of them is actually Dr. Ame at UM. He does a lot of great work, works really hard, has taught me a lot as well about schizophrenia, bipolar, which are things I'm not familiar with. I just am there to empower people like him, Dr. Anne, Dr. Andrew, and shout out to my therapist. I'm not asking him, but yeah, he's great as well. He is at Mind Faculty.
Mind Faculty, yes.
Yes, yeah.
I have heard of them.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing fabulous work with my faculty.
He's helped me a lot.
Okay. Now, I'd like to turn our focus back on the pandemic and its relation to mental health, because, you know, on one hand, the pandemic has put a spotlight on mental health, which is great, but what we have seen from the pandemic, it has exacerbated the gaps between the haves, the have-nots, and people from the lower socioeconomic background are the most impacted. Mm-hmm. And they're also the same group who may find it harder to access to mental health care. What are your thoughts about the environment that we have right now and what we can do better to help this group of people?
I wouldn't say that they don't care about their mental health. I think maybe they place, you know, more importance on things like, for example, putting food on the table at the end of the day, right? Like, for example, if you were to imagine Makcik Kia. Okay, Makcik Kia today, a year on from the pandemic, if she was the lead in her household, she could probably be facing either a salary cut or perhaps no job at all. Yeah. It really depends on how many children she has. If a child were to have mental health challenges, like, for example, if her child were to have difficulties in, let's say, transitioning from going to school every day to, you know, suddenly having to go to school at home, right? She would then have to sort of juggle between having to work, but at the same time having to be, you know, a full-time mom 24/7, whereas before she would have a break, right? I mean, she would have her own time, but now it's sort of like, where are the boundaries for her, right? So I think for her, she would be sort of thinking of, well, how am I going to support my family moving forward? How do I make sure that my child still gets the best education, even though there have been disruptions? So I think those issues take focus over your, well, her
own well-being.
Yeah, her mental well-being. In terms of access to healthcare, like actually our public health system is fairly good. Every public hospital has a psychiatric unit, for example. They offer mental health services. Okay, granted, of course, you know, I think the waiting time, you know, it would depend. It's probably not as fast. But when it comes to access to healthcare, it's there. It's just, I think, our mission is to get them through the door so that they do reach out for help.
Is there any kind of changes or improvement that you would like to see in the environment to allow people to, you know, if they have any issues, you know, it's easy for them to seek help?
Well, if we were to look at the private sector, so mental health is a largely out-of-pocket expense,
correct,
right?
Yes.
But actually the private sector does have a role to play in alleviating the burdens on the public health sector. But in order to do this, you know, it would be good if, for example, mental health could be included in, what's the word I'm looking for, employee insurance, for example. So I think that is one avenue that we are trying to tackle. And I think that's also the importance of encouraging non-traditional stakeholders to join this mental health conversation. Like, for example, we have reached out to a few corporate leaders. You know, a few insurance providers have also
kindly
expressed their their interest in wanting to collaborate. So I mean, you know, we are off to a very good positive start, and yeah, we hope to sort of, you know, try and push forward.
If you go back to the basics of everything, right, it's about just wanting to be seen and heard, right? To those around us, if we could all be a little more, I mean, I don't want to say, again, it's so sensitive, so just be more compassionate, maybe. I'm just going to stick to that. Be more compassionate, and if you know someone is struggling, just go and help them. And just by helping them, it doesn't mean bring them to the, you could just mean, okay, let's go for lunch, and let's go for dinner, and tell me what's going on, you know? And really just sit there for a good hour. Even that, something as simple as that, mm-hmm. a simple, kind act like that, could just alleviate so much pain and so much, you know what I mean? Something just, let's go for dinner. Tell me what's wrong. You know? Yeah. I mean, just before even bringing anyone anywhere, let's just go back to the basics of, let's just be kind to one another and support those who are struggling. That's all.
So to start with, just giving 5 minutes of your time a day
exactly.
to somebody who you think needs help.
Asking that, we have said this time and time again.
Asking
how are you? Because everything's so fast nowadays, you know, like it just works so fast that I think COVID has said, you know, okay.
Slow us down.
Slow us down.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's
pause
just go back.
Reflect.
Pause. Let's go back to the basics.
I think if we were to go back to your question on the lower socioeconomic groups and how it is they can come forward to ask for help, right? So we here at GRG, we are working on two initiatives with the Malaysian Mental Health Association. The first is to help help set up support groups nationwide. These support groups would be led by those who are seeking help and as well as their caregivers. I feel like we tend to forget those who are out there who also look after those who are going through treatment, who,
you know. I think one segment that maybe we tend to forget are children, adolescents.
Yes. Yeah.
They are the group that may be suffering but are unable to seek help.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. I mean, you're a mother yourself and, you know, raising a child.
Yes,
and what
yes.
are your concerns and how can we help support them better, this group, this
children?
Children, yeah.
I think that firstly, like with COVID, kids can't go to school. So that limits their social interaction, which is actually very, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but I'm not a mental health expert, but I think it's not good for children. So this means that they either spend more time on social media, which is really, to me, it's like children should just be children and limit social media usage as much as possible. I mean, if you can't go out, just maybe read a book to them and, I don't know, just cuddle them. But I think the most important is to just watch the time that they're on social media. I think social media can be very harmful.
It has been linked to increased cases of anxiety, depressive symptoms, and
cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying,
which is bullying is not just in person. It can be online as well. In my engagements, I always try to reiterate the importance of social media etiquette, which I feel is I think just be kind and polite on social media, as you would in person. Social media is not just damaging for the for physically, because for kids, right? They're not meant to be staring at a screen 24/7. It's not for their eyes. It's not good. So I think if parents could limit social media usage, which is not easy, but if they could try to maybe give them more books, and I try to give my son flashcards, and I take my son outdoors a lot, more time outside. But I know that not everyone has that access to go outside, because it's, so I understand as well, but maybe read more books instead of more apps, you know what I mean? Because it damages the eyes. And if we could all be just kinder, not just in person, but online, more positivity instead of just bashing people, and be kind in person and online.
That's the message we want to take away from today's show. Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
I wish you all the best with the great work that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
The Green Ribbon Group.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And you have been watching a special episode of Agenda Wani with me, Cynthia Ng. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.